Welcome back to Rebellious Scum, FilmDispenser.com's unofficial Star Wars Rebels podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Spencer.
And I'm your other host, Adam.
And this week, we don't have a third co-host, or this episode, we don't have a third co-host. It's just the two of us. I think you guys will be okay. You're in good hands. But I did want to briefly mention that our episode about the mid-season return with a Princess Leia episode of Princess on Lothal, it disappeared on us. If you have any Audacity geniuses out there, I rendered out my file, and my file came out as a flat line. Full size, like audio's all there, 49 minutes and change long, and it's silent. And my work template, it's a flat line. But if I have any Audacity geniuses out there who are listening and would love to hear that episode, email me, filmdispenser@gmail.com, and I'll send you the files. And if you can fix them, we'll love you. We'll give you mad props on Twitter, but let us know. But yeah, that file has been, as I put in the show notes for our last episode, has been eaten by the evil empire. So it is a loss, and we hate to do that, and we hate that happened, but it did. But luckily, you and I talked a little bit about it on the last episode, so it's not completely without us talking about it. And yeah. And as any good rebel or rebellious scum does, we just keep on kicking. So this week we're back with The Legends of Lasat, an episode that I had hoped for. If you listened to our last podcast where I said I really was looking forward to an episode that built the mythology of this specific story, and we got that on a very Zeb-centric episode. What'd you think, man? What'd you think of this week's?
With the exception of just like one or two things, I really liked the episode.
Yeah, what were the one or two things? Because I think I have one or two things as well. We can sort of get that stuff out of the way and then sort of dive into all the fun stuff.
Lasat Yoda?
We should say spoiler alert. Sort of assume. No, you didn't do anything wrong. Yeah, but I knew we were going there. Spoiler alert, we're going to spoil the whole show. So if you're a new listener, that's what we do. We just talk about it. We've seen it. We expect that you've seen it. Most people know that if they've come to this podcast. But spoiler alert, moving on, Lasat Yoda, you were saying?
Yeah, Lasat Yoda did not like, and I didn't like the chanting. It reminded me a little bit too much of Avatar.
Oh, I didn't get that. I didn't take the Avatar connection until you said it, but this is the wonder of us talking about it. I always find new things to appreciate or sometimes not appreciate.
Yes.
And now that's going to be stuck in my head. But they're purple. They're not blue. It's not the same. Oh, God, it's the same. So I will say I liked the idea of a Lasat wise person and a Lasat mystic. It's little things like she smacks him on the head with her cane thing. And, it's very Yoda on Dagobah Empire, like, oh, grumpy, grumpy. It's very much like that. And it's like... I don't know about all that. That's a little too similar. I do feel like they're trying to draw a line and say this is kind of like their version of that mystic character. But yeah. There's enough there without those Yoda similarities. It was a little like, okay, Filoni, we get it. Little on the nose, but that's okay. There was enough about this episode I liked that it was like, okay, you're being very pointed, but whatever. Now the chanting, the one thing about the chanting. The chanting in the room when they're drawing on the ground, that's the part I was just kind of like, this is really cheesy. But when they lay when they lay hands on Zeb later on when he's piloting the ship, like that I really liked. So it's a weird thing that I would like one but not the other. But I think it's because it's Zeb, but it's not this crazy Yoda lady.
Yeah, it's also the execution of it. I'm gonna be honest with you, I'm calling complete thievery from Dave Filoni and crew, because that whole last collapsed Starfield thing was a total riff or ripoff, whatever you want to do, of the fountain.
You know what? I didn't think about that. That's true. The visuals, especially.
The visuals, the fact that they use Clint Mansell type violins, like the Kronos Quartet violins.
Mm-hmm.
The way that the coloring is, it's straight up like The Fountain. If anybody has not seen that movie, please go ahead and take a look at it. You can actually – I actually wrote up a really long kind of love letter to that movie when I first actually started at a film dispenser.
Yeah, it actually just had a little mini resurgence. All of a sudden, I saw a few people reading it the other day. It was funny. It's one of your earliest
really?
Yeah, it's one of your earliest posts on the site, and then like for half a day, it was in the top five most read of that day. And I was like, that's very random. Someone found that. Someone was looking for some fountain reading. That's a great piece. I'll put that in our show notes for people to find and check out. But yeah, that's. It's interesting because, you know, it's funny you're saying that, and they have taken from in Clone Wars and in this show, you know, we've seen like this year, especially like the Jaws references and other little yep. references. Filoni is very referential, and I think it's really important that he also be reverential when he's being referential, if I'm going to drive people's ears crazy. But I feel like he has to be paying respect, and I felt like... You know, now that you've said that, I didn't actually make the fountain connection watching it, but I'm making it now, like looking back over it in my head. But I feel like what he took to do this, if he took from the fountain, like very much works. And yeah. And I really loved all of that stuff. I especially loved the violin. The music was so incredible to me this week.
Yeah, it was actually a really different than a Star Wars score than we're used to. A lot more strings, not as brassy, I guess, because I've always thought of Star Wars as a brassy type of score.
Yeah, this is the first time I didn't feel like it was a total riff on John Williams. In some fashion, even laying a positive way of it, I've really enjoyed a lot of the riffs on John Williams, but this time I went, this has a totally different vibe to it, and it's great.
No, it totally is. It kind of like, it's weird because last week you were talking about how it's almost like they're listening to you. Filoni is, because what you were talking about last week about like to put a general like articulation on it, it was like you didn't want them to get too close to, okay, well, this is Star Wars, nudge, nudge, nudge. And it's almost like with this episode, they took something really – like they took a couple of key things and kind of pushed in mythology in a different way.
Yes, they really – I felt that there's a key phrase Kanan says to Ezra when they name whatever the Lasat name for – we should say we're also recording this like minutes after watching it. So I don't have full – my memory's not solid on it. But and I don't take notes while I watch it because I wouldn't really be able to pay attention while I did that. Whatever they call the Force for the Lasat, Kanan makes this point to say there are many names for the Force, which is something that's been said before in the Star Wars universe. But this seemed to be the episode to say – like, see, they call it by different things, but it's the Force everywhere. It's all the same. And I really liked that there's like, this is the first time I really feel like they are playing with the Force mythology in the Rebels world in like a new way. And because this is the first time I've seen another species use the Force, but not call it the Force and not necessarily recognize it as the Force that the Jedi recognizes that, even though they're all part of one.
No, absolutely. I found that very interesting, and also in the way that if you think about Clone Wars and you go back to the last season, the quote-unquote lost season, a lot of that kind of imagery that they were playing with, the golden electricity, the golds, the collapsed starfield, it's all – in Clone Wars season 6 or the lost season, where Yoda goes to the Force planet,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of golds, a lot of like bronzes that are playing a lot of things about like a lot of worlds that are hidden from things. And it was kind of interesting for me to like instantly get pulled back to those Yoda episodes where he goes and tries to find answers.
Absolutely. We've totally skipped over something else, and I can't believe we have. This is us. We don't do it in chronological order. But your boy Hondo is back.
Yeah, God, you got to love Hondo. Like, as soon as I saw him, I was like, oh, I know Logan is totally grinning ear to ear at this moment.
Oh, yeah. It's one of those things. I didn't have any clue he'd be in this week's episode. I don't know if he was any of the advertising, but I never saw him, and I'm just – it was a great, fun surprise. Like, oh, there's Hondo. That's awesome.
doing the most Hondo thing that he's done since like season 2 of Clone Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Like totally selling people up the river, but then like just loving to play the game. like in a major, major way, and almost and paying for it, and deathly paying, well, not deathly, but paying for it in a big way. It was kind of fun to watch him and truly get. Like it's got to be fun for somebody who's watched Rebels or who's only watched Rebels and not watched Clone Wars, and to see this one guy who has kind of had this great one-off episode come back and be kind of the same, but more of a more of the roguish rogue, like an evil rogue, than right. like the charming rogue.
Right. It's like, I'm selling people, but I knew you'd come and save them, but I'm also actually selling you as out, but you don't know it yet. You're just insurance. And then when you are insurance, I'll be honest with you about it, but you're definitely insurance for the Empire. It's so like, you are all expendable to me, but if I don't have to let you die, then I can use it to my advantage, and that works for me too.
Yeah.
But I've smiled and laugh about it the whole time.
It's a layered cake that... like somebody who hasn't watched Clone Wars can't like may get a little frustrated with because they haven't learned to like enjoy the charms that is Hondo Ohnaka.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And it's just fun to watch. Like, I just love how like he'll just turn on a dime. He doesn't care. He has no loyalty, literally no loyalty.
It's so funny. But you know, at the end of this episode, he is stuck on that Imperial ship. With Agent Callus, who I wanted to call Agent Kanan last episode, but Agent Callus is on the ship with him, and I feel like there's a great moment when the ship and the crew are going to go into the uncharted territory and go through this storm of stars, and Callus says we're going to retreat. And but we're gonna watch them die, and it's very dark. And you're like, this is like Callus is really, Callus is always a bad dude, but now it's so very personal for him. Now when they get away, and he's got Hondo, I don't feel like gets a free pass this time.
No, he doesn't.
And so I'm curious if Hondo, after all of these double crosses and Ezra's affection for Hondo, is going to be what brings them back into the crosshairs of the Empire, but of their own doing, to save Hondo in the near future. Do you think they'd go that far to save him?
That would be interesting. That would seriously be interesting, because there's this thing where I'm wondering how dark are they going to go with this show?
Yeah, because we've been talking about Ezra lately and what his path is going to be. And I could even see, if the team won't go after Hondo, that splitting them a little bit and Ezra going off on his own to try and save Hondo. And that bringing him closer to the darkness.
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking more along the lines of, is that I think that Ezra is blinded by certain things, and like he has an affection for Hondo, even though he knows Hondo is a bad man. Mm-hmm. It's almost like he has like a soft spot for him, like much in the way that Obi-Wan Kenobi had a soft spot, but at least Kenobi was old enough to be guarded, whereas Ezra doesn't have any guard whatsoever.
Yeah.
Hence why he keeps the communicator. Like, we honestly did not. I mean, like, that was genuinely like something, like when I saw the communicator, I'm like, what is he talking about? Point of contact. And then just to realize that it's Hondo.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that 1 foot in one world and 1 foot in another. And it's going to make it's like you toe that line, and sooner or later you're going to have to choose between one or the other.
And it's such a risk to the rebellion as a whole that he's in contact with this person would easily sell them out if it meant his skin, you know?
Yep.
And
And
so like the fact that he's done this, like whether it has repercussions now, it will at some point. Like it has to. There's no way like Hera's cool with this. You know what I mean? And I wouldn't be shocked to end up seeing something along the lines of, we find out that Hera's been watching Ezra closer. There's a little bit of distress growing there because of Ezra's immaturity, really. But then Ezra takes it more personally than that, you know? It's going to be like the classic rebellious kid that then it's got bigger effects because of what all is at stake with all these characters. It's good stuff this week. Good stuff this week.
Yeah, it is. Like I said, just the two missteps for me. Other than that, it was really interesting and strange in the best possible way.
I thought it was interesting, this whole thing of, so we have been led to believe that Zeb was, I never believed Zeb was like the only survivor. If there's one, there was another, you know? But one of the very last of the Lasats, and it wasn't necessarily a shock to find out there were some older Lasats kind of wandering around out there as prisoners of the Empire. Not a big shock. What was shocking was to see how, A, we find out, you know, Captain Zeb, and so he was very important. We find out all this guilt that he's carrying, not just for, it's not just survivor's guilt, it's the guilt of a leader who failed his people to some degree. So we get some new perspective on that. All stuff that I felt like enriched a character who has really been, I actually almost put, I was typing up the post for this podcast in the notes, and I knew this was a Zeb-centric episode, and this is before I'd seen the episode, I actually started to put, and our resident meathead, Zeb. and like, because that's what, but I changed it, because I was like, I don't know what this episode will do, and it's definitely going to feature him, and I'm glad I didn't put that, because, and obviously I could have fixed it, but I'm glad I didn't put it, because in the end, this episode did flesh that character out more than we've seen him fleshed out yet. We've seen him be softer, which has been nice. You know, he's not just a total, like, you know, hard case with Ezra and everybody else. But now we really realize what's kind of at the core of Zeb a little better than we have. And I thought it actually made me like the character more. What about you? What are you feeling about Zeb after some of the revelations and some of the things he's done in this week's episode?
I really like the fact that they've brought him back, because he's really been on the periphery. Even though that he's been featured in episodes, he hasn't been the focus of those episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like we're getting back to core group, and I kind of like that. I really like that we're getting some history on somebody who I feel has been neglected a little bit. Even though he's not my favorite.
Yeah, that's specifically, I was definitely curious about that, because you've mentioned that before, and I know it's not like in like, oh, you've hated him, or have you turned around? But like, I just wondered if from a character that wasn't your favorite, did he gain any cool points with you this week, you know?
Oh yeah, he definitely did. Like the fact that he's essentially a force user is like super cool. Like, I really like that aspect about him, is that Filoni has found a way to bring in other force users without having to call it the force and without having to have Jedis.
And it does feel like there's this bigger narrative in the Star Wars world right now that everybody has some bit of the force within them, and that isn't just a metaphor. You know what I mean? That they all have it to some degree, and I feel like this is kind of a part of that bigger narrative of, look, the force is in everything, including everyone. It's not just that you're born special because you're Luke Skywalker's kid or Darth Vader's kid or Darth Vader, whoever Darth Vader's dad was. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to be a Skywalker to be special or a Kenobi to be special. Like, anyone can have the Force in them, and that can go any direction. I think we're seeing that with, like, the Seventh Sister and stuff like that. They went a different direction, but anyone can have the Force, and anyone can have it in a stronger way if they can tap into it. And I felt like Zeb needed the inspiration. I think he needed his community, and he needed to really embrace who he is as a being to kind of tap into that. I don't think we'll be seeing Zeb lifting up his coffee cup to drag it across the room with his mind or anything anytime soon.
Oh, no.
But I thought it was really nice to, like, say, if you're in that right moment, I sort of always go back to, because this is where I was before Star Wars and understanding of all this force mythology. There's a moment in a Spider-Man comic book a long time ago where there's a water tower coming down. I think it's going to kill Aunt May or Mary Jane, somebody, and it's too much for him. But because of his love for the person it's going to kill, he pushes through and is able to save the day and push the water tower the other direction. And that's the same thing with the force, I feel like. And they're really exploring that in, I think, really good ways right now.
No, they absolutely are, and that was Mary. It was Aunt May. Okay. I remember that issue. I totally remember that issue. It was Aunt May, and I like that. I like that idea of Force users rather than like calling the Force by different names. It's like it's almost like, I not to get religious or anything, but it's like I'm liking the fact that they're saying it on screen, that basically it's like God, Buddha, I Ching, whoever, like, you know, Muhammad, like whatever the whatever you call it, it's still the same idea.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I really like that idea of, like, because then that allows us to explore beyond just Jedis, because Jedis are kind of like Jesuit monks, whereas, you know, like even somebody like I keep on thinking about Pre Vizsla and his black bladed lightsaber.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like things like the fact that sabers aren't lightsabers or laser swords are not just to the Jedi. That they are a weapon. They are not just being yielded by like a Jedi. Like, it's not exclusive. Do you know what I mean? Like, I like the fact that there's a world out there, like beyond Grievous, that can use these weapons, that can wield these weapons.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
And then also in the other way, like in another way, like the way that, like, people use force, it's a different thing for a different species or a different approach to it. Mm-hmm. Which I really like. I really like that idea.
So I just did a little searching. So it's the Ashla. That's what they're calling it. That's what the Lasats call the Force, basically.
Oh, okay.
And so just sort of, I feel like, in case our listeners are screaming at us, I looked it up. We've said it. Don't be mad anymore. but yeah, I mean, I think it's a step in the right direction, because the Rebels is doing a really great job of existing on Disney XD as this piece of Star Wars canon storytelling. Because Disney XD, good Lord, like, quick public service announcement. If you have epilepsy, never watch Disney XD, like, because those commercials will kill you. But, like, I feel like an old, like, the oldest I have ever felt when I watched those commercials. But it's like, that's... Oh my God, Peanut and Pickle over and over again.
I just don't get it.
I have no clue. And I don't want to ever get it. I'm good not getting it. I just wanted to go away. But like, what I read this interview with Kathleen Kennedy at some point in December, one of many, so I can't even source it. It's probably the Hollywood Reporter, but I don't remember exactly. But she was referencing the fact that when they were going to do a show for Disney XD, Disney really said, let's do something funnier. And I can see what they're saying when I look at shows like Gravity Falls that come on right after, which played for about 5 minutes before I was like, can't do it. Gotta turn it off. but it's really an anomaly on that network. And
yes,
so I have to give it a lot of credit for existing the way that it does, but then also for finally getting a little philosophical. You don't need that all the time. Star Wars doesn't need that all the time. But little moments in the films go a long way. And in a full season like this, an episode goes a really long way. And I thought this gives a moment of... I thought it really was a great moment of unifying the team that has seemed to be sort of intersecting with all these other people for this whole season, to really come together, like you said, and really get down to the core group, but then to also explore these philosophies of spirituality and use the Force to do that. It was very fun, very engaging to that part of my brain that I don't feel like Disney XD comfortably engages with. but it's nice to see Filoni go there, for real. Like, I completely agree with everything that you're saying, and I just think that bravo to them this week.
Yeah, it was really nice to see a change up in that. Like, I did not... It's not that Rebels is bad. It's just that Rebels is at a certain point where I think that... My thought is that I think that they have too many... Like, they may actually have too many episodes this season. Mm-hmm. I think maybe going to a 16-episode format and not this, what is it supposed to be, 20 this year?
Yeah, I think so.
I think that the four extra are adding too much padding.
Yeah, no, I would agree.
That's just my thought. I mean, I'd much rather have more focused storytelling than more episodes.
Because they're not doing big arcs, like something that we have talked about in the past is most of these episodes just kind of live by themselves within the overall story, but there's not a lot of to be continued in Rebels. And I think without that, like it's a lot of pressure to produce very quickly that many solid episodes back to back to back. It is nice when an episode like this exists within the canon of the story and in the timeline of the story, but really truly could have been placed at any time between any two episodes this season, really, except for the one or two to be continued we had. It really does live by itself outside of that timeline. I guess you had to have met Hondo, and that's about it, you know, and so, or at least Ezra had to have. And so I like how they did it this time, but it's hard to do. I truly feel like the last two episodes, in particular the first one back, the Princess and Lothal, it didn't do anything. And here, this episode could have really not affected any of the other characters whatsoever, but then it chose to drive forward ideas of the Force and the community of the team, and I thought, and honestly, in Kallus's anger, his vengeance that it's really building, I think those three elements make this episode, even though it kind of stands alone, really, really worthwhile in the overall picture. But it makes me nervous for next week and what that could bring, because until we get to the heavy storyline stuff, I do feel like we're in danger of a little bit of padding.
Yeah, that's the thing I do not like. Like that's just pure honesty. It's like I don't mind episodes. Like honestly, I don't. I mean, like I would be crazy to say that I don't mind it, but I'm at a point now where I want quality, not quantity.
Yes, if they told me. It's sort of like the idea they moved Star Wars Episode 8 back 7 months or 6 months or whatever it was, 7 months. And like if that's because you can make a better movie, fine. Move it back a year and a half. If it's going to make the better movie, I don't need one Star Wars movie a year. I would love one Star Wars movie a year, but I would love them all to be good. And so at some point, something's got to give. And so if I know that there are economic reasons for moving Star Wars back as well, but apparently they're taking this time to also work on the movie itself, which is great. But like Rebels, that first season, man, even with like our TIE Fighter episode that was kind of at the beginning not one of our favorites, like has really grown on me. And it really kind of fits as this anomalous, really fun, goofy episode in this short little season. And it works. But now it's like you can't have too many of those, though. And once you start having TIE Fighter episode after TIE Fighter episode, it's a few too many TIE Fighters. And so I'm hoping that. And that's all a metaphor, folks. I know there aren't too many TIE Fighters. But I just think that it's a little tricky, and we'll have to see what these next few weeks bring. I do have faith that overall we're going to be very happy, because we have been happy so far. I'd take the 16. I'd take a shorter season, and be comfortable with knowing everything was good. I think they can do it. But at the same time, I understand it's Star Wars. Why not give people more?
Yeah, I mean, I like the thought of 20 episodes, but until the season is over with, I really can't judge if I feel that 20 is necessary, because it's like you were saying with the TIE Fighter episode, it came back to play.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And if this stuff comes back to play, then great, it all works, but it doesn't feel like it. Like you said, it feels like padding, and that gets me worried. It gets me a little worried, not because, you know, as taken as a whole, when you watch Clone Wars, it's great, but I would be remiss if I didn't say there are whole swaths of episodes, like story arcs, that I do not care for.
Oh, there's bad stuff in there, flat out. I mean, I always feel better when I think about Logan at one point, who is our our biggest Clone Wars fan friend in terms of the website, and he has episodes. He's like, I can't even like watch them a second time. They're so bad. And like, it's like, okay, I feel better. Like, I'm not just being a prude. Like, there really are just some bad things in that. But it's over 100 episodes. It happens. And that is the nature of it. And you know what? If the worst we get is be getting tired of a few Easter eggs and the Princess Leia episode, you know what? That's great. That's if that's the worst, bring on that worst. You know, that is fine. But I wouldn't mind just not having any bad and just having a shorter season. But I do feel it's a show that's always adjusting. So I'd be curious to see, depending on where this season is going, if they have bigger plans for next season, because you know they're already like working on that, and who knows, probably season four as well. They're always so far ahead of where we are on watching the show.
Well, I was going to ask you, have you heard the psychotic rumor that's floating around about season three?
I have not. What's the psychotic rumor?
Okay, well, guys, just fast forward like maybe 3 to 5 minutes. It may not even be that long if you don't want to hear. Rumor has it, and it was on Screen Crush. I think it was just recently that I had read it. Screen Crush is reporting via another website that rumors are that they're bringing Grand Admiral Thrawn into season three. I don't know how much I believe that.
Sounds interesting, because he's like EU, like the books and stuff, right?
Yeah, he's like the books from the Heir to the Empire stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had heard that, and I was like, yeah, I mean, and like people are actually reporting this. I mean, Screen Crush is reporting it. I mean, they're quoting the source and where it's coming from. But at the same time, I'm like, at first I was like, okay, that would be – no, they're not going to do that. They're just not going to do that. They're not going to – like – they spent so much, and I would wonder what you thought. I mean, I think they spent so much time getting rid of that EU. Why bring a character back from that EU?
Well, I think that they're, you know, we've seen a lot of references with like ships and designs and stuff from the EU in this season.
That's true.
And so my whole thought has been, that's a really fun way to play service to the good stuff that's come out of the EU, but not have to like just completely appease everyone. But at the same time, that rumor, you know, it could be that they've been building to introducing someone major from the EU. I could see that going either way. I think that I don't have a big connection with that character at all. I know of the character. I know I've read some of those books, but I was so young when I did that I don't retain any of that. And so I know I have, but it's not really a big. He's not a big presence in my Star Wars fandom, so if they bring him in, I'd be very open-minded about it. But I don't. I just feel like that's too big. I feel like they're going to play service, but they're not going to bring. I just don't feel like they will. But if they do, I think that they could pull it off. I mean, I'm not nervous about it. I just don't really think that they will, in all honesty. But call me a fool in a year, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like it's the whole thing of like spending so much time getting rid of people, like the whole entire EU.
Yeah, the backlash too, and being very steadfast in the fast in the backlash, going, nope, this is what we're doing. We have done it.
Yeah, because like, and you're right. I mean, there are reference points to things like the Leia episode. I think one thing that we didn't mention during our thing was her ships are kind of referencing certain things from EU game or like non-canon games.
Yeah, the Knights of the Old Republic, right? Those are the hammerhead ships.
Yep, exactly. Which, I mean, anybody who's played that game loves that game. I mean, I adore that game. But you know, as soon as everything was tossed out, that was one of the things that was tossed out. But they're still making reference to it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in which they could. I mean, it's their property, but it just seems like if you're going to introduce somebody, like do something really interesting, like, you know, introduce Snoke, like do something like that for me. Don't do something like an EU character just because, I don't know, I just don't feel, I'm not feeling it.
Yeah, I'm not either. I'm I'm not. I mean, I trust in them to do it well, and I'm lucky that I don't have enough knowledge of the character to really be like, oh, they're gonna do this, or oh, he should be like this. So that'll be helpful for me in terms of it, doing it. But yeah, I don't care about it. Like, I really don't. I'd rather just like I said on the last episode, I just really love the Rebels world. I know it's part of Star Wars, but it is its own thing. Just like the prequel trilogy is its thing, Clone Wars is its thing. That is very separate to Ahsoka is a huge character, never in the movies. You know, it's its own side thing, and they all fit into the bigger picture. But I like the Rebels world that we're in. You know what I want to meet? I want to meet Leia's stepmom, and like I want to spend some time with Bail Organa on, you know, talking with the Rebels. I want to meet more people in the rebellion who are out there doing little things like bringing food to planets in need or rescuing prisoners. You know what I mean? Like, that's what this is about, and that's really what I'm more interested in. And I think Kallus is a great villain. I really like Kallus, and I want to spend more time with Kallus chasing these guys down. I'm really like, I'm not tired of it, but I'm ready for Kallus to have a really good moment with the rebels, not just show up with a ship, you can't make it, have to go home, or show up in a building and can't make it and have to go home. I'm ready for like a real showdown. Kallus is captured, or Kallus captures somebody and keeps them for more than an episode. Like, I'm ready for some of that stuff more than I care about expanding into EU characters, you know?
No, absolutely. And you know who I was thinking about that I'd really like to see, which I could think of as is entirely possible? Captain Antilles.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that would be great. And I think they're setting him up to be a little more in the new canon books, like as sort of a through line post the original trilogy. And so I think it would be a great way to sort of start as this season gets closer to meeting A New Hope, that you introduce him and let us hang out with him and see why he's cool. And I think it's good for a younger generation who, as they get older, will go, let me read some more books about Captain Antilles. So, like, all the way around, we all win. And he's already canon. We don't have to retcon anything.
Exactly. And I think like there's certain things that can be done, and I hope we're done, but it's all to say that I just hope that they're not leaning into fan service, which is always my fear.
Oh yeah, I
Always
mean, absolutely. Like, I'm right there with you. Absolutely. I don't want it. I want good storytelling that fits the narrative that's a book that we're enjoying so much. And they can do that. They have the ability. Fan service oftentimes comes from having too much fun with what's already working. And I think sometimes you have to continue to take it seriously so that what's working can be fun but also function correctly. And
Yep.
You know, it's just hit the brakes, Filoni, if you're really thinking about these kind of things. And if you do it right. I know you're listening. You're listening. You're out there. Anyway, so any other thoughts on this week's episode before we wrap it up, sir?
No, not at all. I actually had a really good time with this one. Like I said, barring the two little small critiques I had, it was a fun time. It was kind of like back into form.
The score, the camaraderie, the force stuff all made this one of my very favorite episodes of this season, full on. And the fact that like we didn't even have Rex, like it was really just our core group was great. I didn't feel like any character was played lightly. Like, I feel like Sabine sort of has been played up a lot lately, and Ezra wasn't being all angsty. They worked as a unit, and Zeb felt very much in character, even with his changes and the new developments. And I loved the last little twist of this planet is the planet my people actually came from. There's so much hope there, and they're way out in the outer regions, which we never saw his planet on the planet. We never saw exactly which one was his planet technically. I think we could infer, but there's like three or four of them right in front of us when we're looking at where he's coming from, you know? And I love that's left vague enough. It's not so hard to find. But there are Lasat out there, and they're at their actual home, and that's awesome. And then he comes home with his pals, and that's great. And so I loved it very much. So, Adam, where can people find you on the internet, sir?
You guys can find me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is at @TyRufus_McCoy. That is spelled TYRUFUS underscore MCCOY. You can always find my work, my written work, on filmdispenser.com along with all the other writers. Right now, currently, I have a piece about Michael Bay's 13 Hours, which if you're listening to a Star Wars Rebels podcast, you may not be interested, but who knows? Maybe you might be. Maybe you might hate Michael Bay. You maybe love Michael Bay, but I would definitely say check it out to see what you think about me assessing a movie that I feel is not getting enough play.
It's a really great piece. I really enjoyed it. Not having been able to see the movie yet, I will say that it is a great read because it is very much about sort of the history of this guy and is he doing what he needs to be doing? And I like that a lot. I like looking at the careers of these creative types, and I think he did a great job. So yeah, check that out. It's on the front page of filmdispenser.com right now. You can find me on Twitter at @FilmDispenser, and of course on Shield Your Ears podcast, where we're talking about Marvel's Agent Carter, which is a blast. I think that people would really enjoy this. It's a very nice short season, but it's very, very fun if you like the Marvel Universe, which it's all owned by DC, Disney. That would be funny. DC owns everything. It's all owned by Disney, and so maybe there's some crossover fans here. Check that out. It's a fun show, and Logan, who was on our last episode, I work on that podcast with him. But I'm around on filmdispenser.com as well, working on all sorts of things. But this podcast is a part of the Film Dispenser Podcast Network. We have lots of shows about lots of things, lots of TV shows, lots of geek culture, and comic book culture, and there's lots of really good stuff. Just search Film Dispenser, one word or two, on iTunes or Stitcher. You'll find all of our shows that way. Please rate and review Rebellious Scum. We'd really appreciate it. And tell your friends if they're Rebels fans and they're looking for a nice podcast. We keep it family friendly here, and so it's you're able to listen to it in the car with your kiddos or whatever. And if you have any questions or thoughts, tweet us at our Twitter handles. We'll talk about them here on the show. But please rate and review us and enjoy this show and tell your friends. Do all that good stuff. We love you guys. Thank you for doing it. And have a great week. We'll see you next time.
May the Force be with you always.